My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington. Now, a while back, well, will be a few years ago now, he bought my grand residence, which is near Twithick. Which also means it's sort of near Professor Law's statue. And, well, I've been upgrading it a bit since then. And for all the functional upgrades. So we'll have a look around there. This is the main hall of Oak Road Keep. With great effort, and at no small cost, you managed to fully restore both the keep and its sprawling grounds to their original grandeur. Oak Road Keep is now, with a few small distances, much like it was when it was first built. Still, you're fairly certain with some more work, you might be able to make some additional improvements. Candles sits nearby, watching you intently. Because a while back, we adopted Candles the Cat from Pippiripaw in the Stoneback Tavern in Hawklaw. And Candles is having the time of his or her life. I sort of forgot whether Candles is a girl cat or a boy cat. Probably doesn't really matter. And you can renovate Oaken Road Keep. And that gives you 40 extra grandeur. 40 extra grandeur and it costs 40,000 gold. It's more expensive than all the other grandeur. And also 40,000 gold will take quite a bit to get, especially since I only have 313 gold, having spent it all on other upgrades. There are 66 upgrades I haven't even started to buy. But these are all just ones that look nice. Let's raise your grandeur, because you want to raise your grandeur because it's a number. And you want to make the number bigger. I think maybe a few years ago there's some sort of raffle or something where the amount of tickets you got was your grandeur score. Not quite sure about that. Maybe I'm just imagining it. Maybe it was something that was promised but didn't happen. Anyway, the residence now has 581 grandeur, which means that 250,000 gold has been spent. Well, and then some has been spent making this, sprucing it all up. This residence has the storage room, which I've put many, many things in. It's also storage room and museum of Sir Croakington's adventures. There's little plaques next to all the unique items. And there's a guy. Actually, there's several guys who just, you know, have a few bars that wander around and tell the tales of how I got all the items. Anyhow, let's use/visit your functional upgrades. Now, these are the repeatable content and the bit that has mechanical rewards. And probably what you're going to spend most of your time with your residents. Probably. Although maybe all the adventures that are actually there might win out in total, depending on whether you actually bother with them that much. But you slash visit the functional upgrades. I have. There's only, out of all the upgrades you can get, only 7 of them lead to something you can actually do. These are the Library of Arcanum, the Hall of Living Statues, the Mirror of Gating, the Paleo Cellar, the Helgeron, the Moat Guardian, Trosk, and the Enchanted Mouth. Just do them in order, Library of Arcanum. A marvel to behold. This library is filled with a vast collection of books, scrolls, and tomes, and even a few tablets contain a wealth of arcane knowledge and mystical lore. This grand library surely rivals those that are rumoured to exist in the well-protected abodes of the realm's greatest sorceress. Special function. You can search the library to see if there's anything of interest or value be found within its ancient text. Presumably I have a librarian who just keeps buying new things for me, or something like that, so I don't, you know everything about it because I bought all the stuff myself. Or maybe it's some sort of magic library where books just appear in it. Yeah, it's called special function. You can search the library to see if there's anything of interest or value to be found in this ancient text. Current level of 3, you can search the library 3 times a day. Please note that each time you use this special function, it will be marked as having been used. Even if you quit without saving your game. Well, search the library. Begin a search of the library, picking a number. Bonus of 69, 20 for Arcania, 19 from Lore, 20 from Mind, 10 from Aura. So it's the bonuses are Aura, Mind, or over 2. So if I maxed out my Arcania and my Lore, or just got them both to level 90, or something like that, I would be guaranteed success in this. But that's honestly too much of a bother for that. So pick now. 84, success. Among the countless books and documents, the clutter the shelves and tables of the library, discover a tattered book. A long and careful study of the book reveals several fascinating and enlightening passages on the magical discipline of conjuration. Although, admittedly, most of these passages are just long rants about how there really doesn't seem to be that many times where I can use conjuration. Although, when it does turn up, it's usually a lot of fun. Invaluable knowledge you've managed to glean from your perusal of the book has served to help you improve your mastery of the mystical art. 256 experience to conjuration. That's a lot for pretty much no work at all. And no risk either. And no expense. Well, no additional expense. There's about 6,000. Well, there was some... A modest amount of gold was spent buying it up and grading it, but it is probably the most recommending of all the upgrades, all the functional upgrades, because it's just the quickest to do. Having completed your examination of the book, you return it to Swap Races Library. All right, search again. In the searches, same check again. 160, success. Among the countless books and documents that clutter this table, shelves and tables of the library, discover a decaying scrap of paper You know what? I really do need a librarian. You know, order, organize things. But we couldn't really use the Dewey Decimal System because everything would be deep, deep into the decimals. Because this is a very specialized library. A long and careful study of the scrap of paper reveals several fascinating and enlightening passages on the magical discipline of conjuration. Invaluable knowledge you've managed to glean from your perusal of the scrap of paper have served to help improve your mastery of the mystical art. 32 experience to conjuration. Having completed your examination scrap of paper, return it to the proper place in the library. Final search. Same check again. Failure. Yep. That's what happens when I didn't raise Arcania and Law enough to guarantee my success, but oh well. You make a thorough search of the library, don't find anything that provokes more than a moment's curiosity. Despite not having found anything of any particular interest or importance, perusing through the vast collection of books, scrolls, tomes and tablets that fill your library has not been without benefit. So 8 experience to Law and 16 experience to Arcania, which just so happen to be the very things to raise to you to get it up to 100% success. But oh well. Alright, now I'm going to see if I can level up Law and Arcania with just the specific experience. Train Arcania. Alright, I've got that to 82. Maybe that'll give me an extra point. Maybe it won't, not quite sure. Law. Alright, I can level up that quite a bit. So level 77. And now it's level 80. So that'll definitely be another point. Another point, maybe 2 points for that check from just leveling things up. Oh, well. Such things as occurred. All right, next one. Hall of Living Statues. The Hall of Living Statues lies tucked away within the depths of Oak Road Keep. Broad pillar-flanked alcoves surround the hall. There are currently 6 living statues residing in the hall. You can earn special experience awards by battling the statues that stand in this magical chamber. The statues lie curled up here, resting peacefully. Special function. You can battle the living statues in the hall. It's current level of 3, you can battle the hall's living statues 3 times a day. Please note, each time you access this special function, it will be marked as having been used, even if you quit out without saving the game. Battle the hall's living statues. Do this 3 times today. The living statues that occupy the hall spring to life. You quickly position yourself to engage the life-sized, living and breathing sculptures one at a time. The stone brigand, his hand clutching the hilt of a sword, spits on the floor before swiftly closing in on you. You bravely hold your ground and adeptly counter the living statue's deadly assault. It's a living brigand statue. Let us begin combat. These are scaled, so I swing my club. The brigand slashes at you with his sword. Savage blow for 10 damage. Savage blow for 11 damage. Just bash, 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 and slain. 62 experience. Now that's more experience than it was when you first got it, because I leveled up this bandit statue to level 3. Because the more you level it up, the more XP you get from the fights. And since you're going to be having, you might well end up having hundreds of fights against these, that starts to add up. The living stat, and of course, it also makes your grandeur number higher. A bigger number is better. The living statue crumbles into a pile of jagged stone fragments at your feet. With only enough time to draw several wagging breaths, you quickly turn to face the next living statue, the savage troll, its stone limbs moving with the fluidity of flesh, roars as it bounds forward and attacks, swiping altitude with its fearsome claws. You bravely hold your ground and adeptly counter the living statue's deadly assault. Living troll statue, begin combat! The stone troll bellows savagely as it swipes at you with its deadly claws. Oh, I should have... Would Thorbond work? You know, I'll check that out next time. Keep going, and slain. 65 XP. The living statue crumbles into a pile of jagged stone fragments at your feet. With only enough time to draw several wagging breaths, you quickly turn to face the next living statue. The stone tarsal, its cruel eyes fixing you with an unnerving gaze, slithers forward and strikes out at you with its scimitar. You bravely hold your ground and adeptly counter the living statue's deadly assault. Living tarsal statue. The tarsal hisses and slashes you with its scimitar. I swing my club. Keep swinging my club, and it is slain. 61 XP. The living statue crumbles into a pile of jagged stone fragments at your feet. So you get about 60-ish experience for the fight, and then a few extra experience for the difficulty it scaled to. Although that does max out around about 10 or so. So if you, for some reason, have your MR in the thousands, like your Gregor or something, you don't end up with hundreds of experiences. Just maxes out for some reason. With only enough time to draw several wagged breaths, you quickly turn to face the next living statue. The goblin statue, its face twisted into a hideous snarl, rushes at you, its short hafted spear poised to run you through. You bravely hold your ground and adeptly counter the living statue's deadly assault. Now, will the goblin doom help? We shall see. No, goblin doom does not help, because it's not a goblin, it's a living goblin statue. It's not made out of goblinness. There's no goblin heart to stab. There's no goblin brain to bomb. There's no goblin kidney to not punch it in. There's no goblin gonads to knee. So all the goblin doom stuff doesn't work. Thrust its spear at you. And slain. Also go into a battle wage. Because I'm not sure exactly what I'm angry about. I mean, I told it to fight me and then it fought me. I should be pleased, not angry. I also did a quick heal. 70 XP. The living statue crumbles into a pile of jagged stone fragments at your feet. With only enough time to draw several wagging breaths, you quickly turn to face the next living statue. The stone ogre, moving as if it was made of flesh, stomps forward and attacks, swiping out at you with its massive club. You bravely hold your ground and adeptly counter the living statue's deadly assault. It's a living ogre statue. The hulking ogre statue swipes at you with its heavy stone club. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Savage blow. Go into a battle wage, and it is slain. 72 XP. The living statue crumbles into a pile of jagged stone fragments at your feet. With no time to recover from the previous fight, you quickly turn to face the last of the living statues. The stone knight, its broad face concealed behind the visor of his full helm, draws a broad-bladed sword, steps forward and attacks. You bravely hold your ground and adeptly counter the living statue's deadly assault. Living knight statue. Slashes you with its sword. Savage blow for 12 damage. I go into a battle wage and it is slain. 65 XP. The living statue crumbles into a pile of jagged stone fragments at your feet. 336 experience to general. The remains of the living statue suddenly rise up off the floor, as the enchanted stat sculptures rapidly begin to repair themselves. In a matter of moments, the shattered statues are once again whole. You watch in amazement as the statues quickly cross the hall and enter the statue alcoves from which they emerged. Once inside the alcoves, the statues return to their original, unmoving states. Alright, now I can go at these again. I'll just be quick combating this time. Living Goblin, quick combat, 67 experience. Living Ogre, quick combat, 60 experience. Living Tazal, oh, running out of health. Summon an entity that improves my that does damage. Sometimes it damages, sometimes it improves your MR. Slain, 64 experience. All right, spam some healing. Next living statue, living knight. Just going to quick combat that. 58 experience. Next living statue, living troll. Let's find out. Is this troll bontable? Engrave troll bont equipped. That's lowered my MR to 357. And my SP is now just 349 max, but it wasn't max, so that doesn't matter. Begin combat. Attack my enemy. Masterful bont. 16 MR this mine round. I'm not sure whether this is bontable. The stone troll bellows savagely. It swipes you with deadly claws. I'm starting to suspect it is not bontable. Just slain. 70 experience. Last of them, living brigand. Quick combat. 58 experience. 100. And 68 experience to general. Return to the main hall for auto heal. Don't need to improve the things. Functional upgrades, hall of living statues. Last time. Just going to be quick combating the lot of these this time. 71 experience was something. Living Knight. 68 experience. Living Troll. 61 experience. Living Brigand. 62 experience. Living Goblin. 68 experience. Quick heal a bit. Last of them, Living Ogre. 64 experience, and the general XP reward of 224. And that is all the living statues fights for today. And a bit more quick healing. Now the Mirror of Gating. The Mirror of Gating resides in a private alcove tucked away at the back of the main hall of Oaken Road Keep. The large mirror set into a thick iron frame dominates the entirety of the wall upon which it hangs. A strange, unsettling feeling comes over you whenever you stand within arm's reach of the mirror. Special function. You can gaze into the Mirror of Gating to activate its hidden portal. It's current level of 3, you can gaze into the Mirror of Gating 3 times each day. Please note, each time you use to access this special function, every mark is having been used. Even if you quit without saving the game. Examine the iron plaque next to the door. Oddly enough, you don't recall it hanging this iron plaque. In fact, you're quite certain you've never seen it before. A lone, etched outline adorns the pitted surface of the iron plaque. A close examination reveals the outline to be the shape of the head of a catamaran. Now, that only happens if you've actually been through the gating, Mirror of Gating before, and I have. So this isn't Sir Croakington's first time through this, because, well, it's been there. Yeah, anyway, once you've. I'll just. You'll fit. Once we've gone through this, you'll understand what the iron plaque is for. I already know, of course, because I've done this hundreds of times. Gaze into the mirror of gating. You step forward and gaze into the mirror almost at once. A pair of fierce, blazing red eyes take form in the centre of its broad, reflective surface. The eyes subtly vanish, only to be replaced by a silent, swirling black vortex that rapidly expands to fill the entirety of the mirror's flat frame. A sense of dread comes over you as your eyes fixate on the inky core of the churning gate. Step into the portal. The instant you step into the portal, your vision blurs, and you find yourself tumbling through a silent, swirling sea of dense black fog. As you continue to tumble through the endless, churning sea of black fog, losing all sense of direction, a swarm of small, fiery shapes suddenly surge out of the surrounding darkness. As the blazing shapes swirl around you in a dizzying pattern, further adding to your disorientation. One of the flaming symbols, clearly depicting a cat's eye, slows down and hovers directly in front of your outstretched hands. Alright, touch the cat's eye symbol, because that's the only option I have. You reach out for the flame weave symbol. It promptly vanishes the moment your hand passes through it. Black sea of fog begins to churn faster, and your vision blurs, forcing you to close your eyes as you drift closer to unconsciousness. The veil of black, swirling fog suddenly lifts and your vision clears. Much to surprise, you're once again standing on solid ground, in the midst of a dense, dark, sweltering jungle. One thing is for certain, you're not in Oak World Keep anymore.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You're standing on a narrow, well-worn footpath that winds its way through the seemingly endless sea of dense, tangled vegetation. The thick walls of vines and leaves that grow up on either side of the path climb into the treetops above, where they meet with a green canopy that keeps the sweltering jungle draped in gloom. The unsettling buzz of what must be millions of insects fills the air. Behind you to your south, the swirling portal through which you entered this strange world hovers only inches above the path. Well, that portal will get me back, but obviously there's something for me to do here. Head north along the path. The incessant, unnerving buzz of countless unseen insects. Or maybe not insects. Maybe they're actually an entirely different class of life. Maybe they have 7 legs. Maybe they have 5. Well, it's probably an even number, because bilateral symmetry seems to be a big thing. Although this is an entirely different world, so maybe not. Maybe they have 10 legs. Maybe they have no legs at all. They're all sort of wormy things. As you cautiously explore this dark, sweltering dungeon. Okay, so I'm near the south end of this dungeon. I'm north one, because that's what happened when I left the gate. And the first part of this maze is an 8 on its side. I go east to a something. You suddenly freeze as you catch sight of a group of figures moving along the path just up ahead. You slip off the side of the track, hoping your approach has gone unnoticed, and carefully observe the group. It's a sight that invokes both rage and pity. A small group of Catawok, their clawed hands gripping the hilt of their shining swords, is marching a band of ragged, half-starved humans along the path. Now and again, men strike out of their captives, elicting a pitiful cry from the man or woman, unlucky enough to find themselves the target of their cruel whim. As far as you can tell, you haven't yet been spotted. Well, attack the four Catawok. Well, I don't know what they're doing, but it's a jerk move. You rush forward, launching a swift and unexpected attack on the Catawok. As the catmen turn to face you, the humans they're captured immediately scatter, flee into the surrounding jungle in all directions. Yeah, pity about that. Don't they know that there's a gate? There's a gate that's like just behind me. You can go through that and you will be in an entirely different world. Although there's probably no way you can get back to your own home, so I can understand not taking it, but I'm sure some of them would be just but willing to, you know, just start entirely afresh just to get away from here. As the catmen turn to face you, the humans they had captured immediately scatter, fleeing into the surrounding jungle in all directions. Yeah, I just read that. You bravely engage the first Catawok warrior, 1 of 4. The Catawok warrior executes a deadly attack. Keep going, and slain. 24 XP. With a hideous screech that widens up into the dense canopy of vegetation far overhead, the Catawok collapses onto the ground at your feet and expires. You quickly turn to face another of the deadly feline warriors. With grim determination, you boldly engage the next Catawok, executes a deadly attack, just fighting aggressively, and slain. 24 XP, face another one. Do 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 do. 24 XP. That's the last of them. 24 XP for finishing that. With a hideous screech that rises up in a dense canopy of vegetation far overhead, the Catawok collapses onto the ground at your feet and expires. With no more of the cruel cat men left, you spend a few moments recovering from the fight. Then, mindful to remain on your guard, you cautiously search through the remains of your slain foes. Your search turns up nothing of any particular interest or value. Realizing it's dangerous to linger here for any longer is absolutely necessary, you quickly check over your gear before once again setting off on your way, also a quick heal. Alright, and I can go west. In a corner, a small group of Catawok. It's another 4 of them. Attack them. The people flee. Quick combat. Another one. 2. Quick combat. 3. Deadly attack. Okay. And the final one. Determined to show the cruel cat men no quarter, you step forward to engage the last of the Catawok. Quick combat. 24 XP. There's also some loot. Pick that up. Realizing with no more of the cruel Paul Catman left, you spend a few moments going with the fight. Then, mindful to remain on your guard, you cursorily search through the remains of your slain foes. You discover several items, some of which you can only assume must have belonged to the captives of the Catamaran. Alright, some items. Realising it's dangerous to linger here any longer than is absolutely necessary, you quickly check over your gear before once again setting off on your way. To north to another question mark. Just one cat and walk. Attack the lone cat and walk. As the lone cat man turns to face you, humans you have captured immediately scatter, fleeing into the surrounding jungle in all directions. Quick combat with Catamaran Warrior, 24 XP. And you get the same post-text rewards. The search turns up nothing of any particular interest or value. Realising it's dangerous to linger here for any longer than absolutely necessary. Alright, now I'm just going north of them. And then north of the Onside 8, the passage splits into three. And then comes together again. Alright, four Catamaran. It's gonna be quick combating these. 24 XP. And 24 XP. No loot that time. Alright, I'm going on the west side. Three Catamaran now. Booby doo doo. I mean, you're not getting as much XP per combat as with the living statues, but there are a lot more combats. Especially since you can also do this three times. And lone Catamaran. Quick combat. 24 XP. Oh, and some loot and 17 gold. Two of the gold in the form of a trinket. All right, three Catamaran. Quick combat. Heal. To the second one. And the third one. There we are. Another 24 XP for each of them. Oh, now there's question marks at the end of the middle and the eastern path, so I'm just going to plop them off. Hair of Catamaran. Those are the cat men. Quick combat. Right, the last dots on the way to the end. Three Catamaran. Quick combat. And last one. Quick combat. Stop me first. I had to fight manually because I got too wounded, which is slain. Yeah, quick healing is your friend here. Because of just the way this game's worked out. None of the fights can get easy, but never trivial. Alright, now for the final part. You reach the edge of the large clearing at the end of the path and abruptly freeze. Standing in the centre of the clearing, their cruel eyes fixed on you, a four sword wielding Catamaran. Now, apparently, if you don't go through all the other ones first, there can be a lot more here. As the armoured catmen step towards you, another Catamaran. Previously unseen, steps down from his perch atop a nearby boulder and motions you with his clawed white hand, heeding an unspoken command of their fearsome leader. The four bound across the clearing, swiftly bearing down on you. Hold your ground and engage the four, Catamaran. You hold your ground and bravely engage the first of the sword wound. Catamaran Warrior will fall on four. 24 XP. You step back from the bloody corpse to your feet and swiftly draw yourself to combat ready stance. With a savage snarl, the next Catamaran Warrior leaps at you, his gleaming blade poised to deal you a killing blow. Quick combat. Quick heals. You step back from the bloody corpse to your feet and quickly draw yourself to combat ready stance. The Savage Smile, the next Catamog Warrior, leaps at you, quick combat, 24 XP. The Defiantly Engaged, the last of the Catamog Warriors, quick combat, 24 XP. As you step back from the bloodied corpse at your feet, and exhale sharply as your eyes rise to meet the chilling glare of the fail-wielding Catamog leader. The leader of the Catamog, his clawed hands gripping the haft of his long handled barbed flail, snarls viciously as he bounds towards your attack. It's a Catamog slaver. That explains what they were doing. They weren't just being regular dicks. They were being the worst possible dicks. And I feel even less regret about killing a lot of them. Because, you know, they're slavers. And if you do the slavery thing, you should die. Begin combat. The Catamog slaver swings his deadly flail at you. And I swing my deadly, well, something. Go into a battle rage. Hey! Slavery! It's bad! Don't do it! I mean, I can't believe you haven't figured that out on your own. It is slain. 41 experience and 128 experience to general. Bloodied and battered almost beyond recognition, the limp, lifeless body of the fearsome Catamog slave lord slumps to the ground at your feet. After taking a few moments to recover from the brutal fight, make a thorough search of the clearing. Not far from the boulder upon which the slave would perch, you discover a small hoard of items. It's likely that many of the objects belong to the poor souls who chanced to cross paths with the all cat men. I discover some stuff. Some fairly decent loot. Could be sold for about 1,000 total each. Not 1,000 total, less than 1,000 each. Oh, and 14 gold. Having completed your examination of the items, you're once again prepared to set off on your way through the swelling jungle. Right, nothing to do but make my way back to my fancy residence. The Catamog have been defeated, and the human captives, though you remain uncertain of your fates, because apparently it just at no point did it occur to Sir Croton to say, hey, I've got this portal. I've got a portal to my really fancy house, so you can just go there, and I'll figure something out later. Just go there. I have several bedrooms. Have a nap. I'll have someone there get you a nice meal. Get you a nice meal and some cocoa or some payload to, you know, and then we can hear your story. Although maybe the reason I don't do that is because none of these people speak my language. So, which does make things a bit more difficult. All right, 400 experience to general, which is nice. Step into the portal. As the veil of the dark swirling fog lifts and your vision clears, you leave to discover you're once again standing in front of the Mirror of Gating. Safe and sound in Oak Grove Keep. Summon the iron plaque. A single strange wound has been engraved beneath the outline of the Catamog head. Okay, it looks like that wound was always there. But Catamog head. So the whites of the wound, you spot the faint etching of the number 9. Touch the engraved wound. Nothing seems to happen. Okay, so every time you go through that little dungeon, you get a rune. Once you get 9 runes, something quite nice happens. Which, what that is, will be revealed in perhaps the next episode. Since it's 9 runes, we definitely won't be able to do it today, because you can only do 3 per day. I mean, if I... did some on Friday, and then today I could do it tomorrow, but it's going to have to be at least Monday before I have all nine. Step away from the iron black. Gaze into mode data gating. I'm just going to do this quickly. Cat eye symbol. Head north along the path. It's going to focus on getting white to the end. Quick heal. Now, does the more fights engage the four castle rock? No, just four apparently. Thought there'd be more. Alright, combat. Quick stone is stored at 20. That repeats to 20. 24 experience. Catamaran Slaver. Use a quick stone 20 to bring it down and slain. 41 experience. 128 experience in general or loot. Some of it fairly nice, but not much. 19 gold. Oh, you can just sneak back north. Okay, what about... Okay, they're not attacking now. Maybe they try to attack and they'll find my way out. All right, make my way out. Step into the portal. Step into the portal. Serenity of dense fog. Safe and sound in Oak World Keep. Iron plaque. No. Single rune. Apparently, because I didn't gaze into the mirror of gating. Well, alright. Cat eye symbol. Okay. Apparently, if you want to get a symbol, you have to slay them all. Or maybe there's something else I missed, but it looks like you have to slay every single one of them. Which is fair enough, because, well, they're slavers, so screw them. Screw them, because they're slavers, and slavers are awful, awful people. Definitionally speaking. There's no way to be a slaver and a good person. No matter what, no matter how. No matter how much you pet your dog when you get home, you're still a bad person. That's just how it is. Anyway, and there was three of them slain. Well, and attack the three catamaran. Another three. And quick heal. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Slaying the slavers, slaying the slavers. The slavers, and so they get slain. Just the one there. That's causing, gonna cause you trouble. And some loot. Down the middle path, two things block my exit. Two groups. Another lone catawalk. You really shouldn't be on your own. I mean, if there's just one of you, you know, they could escape. You can't have them escape, because then you can't have anyone in the catnip plantations under the boiling lava sun or something like that. Or whatever it is you do with your slaves. Presumably, you know, have them work, because that's what they're for. You know, because sometimes you want someone to do work, but you don't want to pay them. And you don't want them to, you know, have the opportunity to leave. And you want to, you know, be able to do everything. Make them work way harder than is in any way sensible or, you know, survivable. So you get the slaves because you're awful. 24 XP, Captain another, the Slaver. 41 XP, 128 experience to General. Minor loot drop. Keep going. The Catwalker have been defeated and their human captors, few remain uncertain of their faiths, are no longer in the cruel clutches of their slavers. Well done. 576 experience to General. Looks like the XP you gain is a sum, is a multiplier of how many Catwalk you took out. Okay, right. Me, it might just be a random amount either. I haven't checked things. Well, anyway, step into the portal. Back to Open World Keep. Okay, two strange wounds. Like that. We're nearly... You know what? Well, anyway, that's enough. We've gone through the first three things. We've got four things left to go. The Paleo Cellar, the Helgoam, the Moat Guardian, and the Enchanted Mouth. Now, if we do all four of them, we will be well over an hour. So we might as well just stop right now. And save. And that is that for now. Next episode, we'll see the rest of what my grand residence has to offer. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own two feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.